gospel reading comes from the gospel
according to John. We'll be in John chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 8 through 17 and then 25 through 27. So I'll give you a moment here to get there if you would like to follow along with us in the reading of Scripture this morning. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 8. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you, and I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." If you'd pray with me. Lord, we have read about the gift and the promise of your Holy Spirit. So during this time, I pray that your Spirit would be at work in us individually, but also corporatively as a body of faith, that we would be reminded that you are a God that is near to us. Lord, I pray that my words and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing unto you, that they would be surrendered to the Holy Spirit, that you might speak and move through us this morning. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. The Alamo sits in the heart of San Antonio, Texas. It's rich with history and pride and tradition, and that limestone stands tall these days. Tourists, well, they flock to see the site of the great battle of the Alamo, but the real treat lies across the street from it. Sitting across the street from the historic Alamo is a little modern shopping center that holds the gem of San Antonio, and I would imagine of other places in the world. A world-renowned and just as famous as the Alamo is the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum, filled with oddities and wax figurines. And it's kind of funny, because when you go to the Alamo, it's this big historic thing, and then you look across the street, and there it is, Ripley's Believe It or Not. Ripley's Believe It or Not comics, books, and museums have reached worldwide fame, just like the Alamo, its neighbor. The tagline has stayed the same since Robert Ripley first published his comic in the cartoon section of the New York Globe on December 19th, 1918. And because of the popularity of this cartoon, it began to appear weekly in the newspaper. And then Ripley made his first trip around the world in 1922 to publish his travel journals. And it was there that he became enthralled with the exotic and the unusual. His craft grew, and he hired researchers and assistants to help him put together all of these cartoons before they moved to the New York Post. And you must have owned, seen, or at least heard of a Ripley's Believe It or Not book or cartoon, or even been to one of these houses of oddities that provide such proof to outrageous claims and world records. Even so, in 1929, Ripley posted a cartoon saying, "Believe it or not, America has no national anthem." And this shocked people so much, along with the other unusual and odd things put in there, that it is believed that he encouraged the passing and the law signed by President Hoover adopting the Star-Spangled Banner officially as the national anthem. So I guess we can thank Robert Ripley. And if you don't believe me, just know that I have Googled this, and it is true. And so the power of Ripley's fame and his challenge and his namesake stay the same today, believe it or not. I would argue that the lure of this is because we all want empirical evidence. We all want evidence obtained through our own observation and documentation to prove that it's true. We want proof. Don't we say things like, the proof is in the pudding? If we can just touch it, or smell it, or see it, or grasp it, then we'll believe it, right? When pigs fly, we say, believe it or not. And Jesus is speaking to Philip in this passage, and in his own way, he's telling Philip, believe it or not. If you love me, keep my commandments. The advocate abides with you, believe it or not. The comforter will be with you. I leave my peace to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe it or not, I will not leave you. So don't be afraid. The Spirit is with you. So yeah, even though the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum is across from the Alamo, the challenge of it remains for us. Will we believe that the advocate is with us or not? And on this Pentecost Sunday, we've gathered together to celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit to all believers, and thus the birth of the church. It's the 50th day of Easter to commemorate the gift as read in Acts 2, as we just read. The rush of a violent wind, the divided tongues like fire, new languages, new wine, all of it a celebration that we can either believe it or not. The Gospel of John calls the gift of the Holy Spirit the Paraclete. And the Paraclete, that comes from the Greek word combining the words for to call and alongside. The one that is called to be alongside you, that is the Holy Spirit. This reading, the Spirit is living and breathing. And this week we find ourselves yet again in the farewell address. The farewell discourse is all about calming fears and anxieties and concerns. This is also disorienting for the disciples. They had just followed Jesus through the countryside to Jerusalem, and now he's gathering around and saying that he's going to leave or go away or do something. What is up with that? It's so confusing. And it's here in that Jesus teaches about his signs, accompanied with the predictions that he will come back, right? He's not going to leave them forever. He'll be gone just a little while. I'm coming back to you. He keeps repeating this, but the disciples will. They cannot comprehend it. They don't believe it, maybe. Or maybe they do believe it. They just don't know what it's going to look like in the end because we all want proof, like Philip. And in this farewell address, Jesus is reiterating not only his teaching, but his promise of love. The gift of the Paraclete, or the Holy Spirit, is just that. The disciples, we are not left alone. We are not abandoned. We have a companion. We have the body of faith to lift us up, and it's in this fear and chaos of the unknown that we celebrate in our promise the gift of the sending of the Spirit of truth to those who believe in Jesus and believe that Jesus is the presence of God, the Word that became flesh. And the Holy Spirit is with us. Like a dove remains on us, like tongues of fire, like hope when we don't have it. So believe it or not today. Philip has a lot of questions. And Philip is us, and we are Philip in a lot of ways. And one thing I admire about Philip is at least he had the guts to ask what everyone else was thinking. Jesus tells the disciples just verses before, I am the way, the truth, the life, and since you know Jesus, you do know the Father. Well, okay, Jesus, that's all great and well, but Jesus, it would be so much easier if we could just see for ourselves. Philip speaks out in the group. He says, Lord, show us the Father, then we'll be satisfied. Jesus, let us just get a little glimpse and it will be enough. I mean, we've already followed you this far. We've already seen what you can do. But if the Father would just make a little appearance, a little cameo, then everything will be right in the world. We'll be satisfied, Lord. Lord, we believe you, but it'd be nice just to have a little bit of proof. I mean, if it's okay with you, it would really help us out. We say in our own ways and out loud sometimes, Lord, show us. Show us the Father. Show us you. Lord, show us a sign. Give me a sign. Lord, just tell me what you want already. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. And all of this is really just code for, Lord, please drop a large marquee in front of me that says exactly what I think it should say in my timing, and do it quickly because I want to know. I want to be satisfied, God. I want that empirical proof to know what to do, to know how to proceed. We say things like, I haven't been able to hear you, even though we haven't been listening. Or we say things like, oh, I'll take that in prayer, but really it's an excuse to have them ask us later. We want empirical proof. We want for God to bend to our requests, and we believe it, I guess, but it should be a little easier. And Jesus, you have told me what you've called me to do, but I really don't understand what that means. Just tell me one more time until I like the sound of it. So Philip, he has the guts to ask, and he's right to ask. We're all thinking it. He just says it. And this is such an emotional time for Philip, to think that his rabbi has just washed his feet, has just provided those 2 fish and 5 loaves. So show us, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll just be satisfied. And Jesus, in the nicest way, offers Philip grace. He says, one, how can you say that? How can you say that? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is me? The words I say to you, I don't just say on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And Jesus points to the shared memory that they all had. They'd had experienced the signs together in the wilderness. They had heard the teachings. Believe me, Jesus says, believe me that I and the Father are in a relationship. And now we want you to join in that relationship. That's the whole reason I'm here. John has said it before, for God so loved the world. And because of this, Jesus has to go away briefly. He has to have people continue his work because we are invited to be disciples. So believe it or not, the work of discipleship on earth continues. And it doesn't end when Jesus goes away. It doesn't end when he's on the cross, he's resurrected and shows us new life. It doesn't end when he's even ascended into heaven. The work goes on. In fact, he invites us to be his agents in the world, to point to his glory, to know that he and the Father are in relationship. But Philip, he doesn't just have questions. He needs an advocate. He needs someone to step in and help. In our lives, there is trial and travail. Some here are walking through grief of losing a dream or of a loved one. Some of us are struggling to hear God's voice. Some of us are having a hard time just putting one foot in front of the other. Some of us are dealing with anger and frustration. Some of us are coming out of a fog that has threatened to isolate them. Some are finally in a place that feels hopeful, are finally feeling like there's joy to be had. Some are just content. Some are filled with excitement of what comes next. But wherever you find yourself this hour, there will be an advocate for you. Despite how things are, despite how they've been, despite what they might be, you can get by with just a little help from a friend. A little support, a little intercession can guard your hope and remind you that you are loved, that the advocate will be present with you in whatever place you are. So your translation of this scripture might say advocate. It might say helper or counselor or comforter, paraclete, if you're really fancy. But scholar Gail O'Day, she says that these translations describe everything that the paraclete or the Holy Spirit does. It's the one that exhorts, the one who helps, the one who makes appeals on one's behalf, the one called to come alongside. It encompasses all of these meanings, and unfortunately, our English translation just picks one, so that's why today we're saying paraclete, the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, doesn't he always do this thing? He always says things that have multiple meanings for us in our translation so that we can get a bigger picture, right? Because often we want to put God into a box, and Scripture reminds us that our God is bigger than that. That the paraclete continues to work with Jesus. It works through Jesus and through us and helps to keep the teachings alive. All of these functions of the Holy Spirit are a way in which God has expressed his love for each of us. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. You see, Jesus is an advocate of sorts. He's come on behalf of the Father to intercede for us, just like the Spirit of Truth sent by the Father and the Son. And this particular advocate, this Holy Spirit, will stay with the disciples, especially in moments like the final discourse. Excuse me, in moments where they are fearful and anxious and frustrated and upset and confused, the Holy Spirit intercedes there. Another way of describing the advocate is what Meta Stamper says, the advocate who will guide them and embolden them for love. The intercession of the Spirit helps us to love deeper and to love more. The Spirit will be with you. It will remain in you. It will indwell in you. It will get you by. The advocate, the helper, the comforter speaks even when we don't know what to say. After a lengthy and well-debated chapter 8 of Romans, the Apostle Paul pens these words. He writes, if in hope we are saved, now hope is not seen, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is one already sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for when we do not know what to pray as we ought to, the Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. The advocate, the helper prays for you and me. We can find comfort that, yeah, we can get by with a little help from our friend. That the gift of the Holy Spirit is a promise that it intercedes for us and comforts us just like Christ did. That it will reconcile us like Christ did on the cross. That this relationship with the Holy Spirit will reconcile our relationship with our Creator. And even when words fail, even when they don't come, the Helper speaks them for you and on behalf of you, because God cares deeply and wholly for us. Now, Philip is promised that the Holy Spirit will abide with him forever, and in turn, we receive that same promise. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will remind you, will teach you what I have said. It's a continuation of Jesus' teachings. And Jesus taught, he said, well, I have come that you might have life, and life abundantly. Jesus taught, I love one another just as I have loved you. Abide in me. Bear fruit. The Son does not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through the gift of eternal life. The Spirit helps to remind us and teach us of these promises. The encourager comes when times are high and low, and we can rest in the fact that we are not alone, that we are not too far gone, that we are not forgotten. Just as Jesus says in verse 18, I will not leave you orphaned. The presence and the love of God is with us. And that's what we celebrate today on Pentecost. That's the truth of it here. The Holy Spirit advocates and comforts us. Gail O'Day also comments that the Paraclete is repeatedly described in ways that emphasize the presence in and relationship with the faith community, saying things like, will be with you forever. The Paraclete, well, it abides with you and will be with you. We do not have to figure it out alone. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, here communally through the love we share and the individual indwelling of the Holy Spirit to remind us that we are beloved, to remind us of whatever we need to hear today. If that's to hear that you have someone to comfort you, that you have someone to advocate for you, that you have someone to help you, that you have someone to remind you that you are beloved in God. If you need help to get by. So believe it or not, the Paraclete reminds us and teaches us everything Jesus has said, including the keeping of his commandment to love one another just as I have loved you, so that you might love one another. And this is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overtake it. And in this, we have peace. Jesus tells Philip and us that he will leave him with peace, or shalom, wholeness, harmony between one another, tranquility in the knowledge that we are saved through grace and that we are accompanied by the one called to come alongside. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace, well, I give that to you too. I don't give as the world gives, so don't let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. It ends the same way the section began. Do not let your hearts be troubled this day. I am with you, and well, the Holy Spirit is here now interceding for you when you don't even know how it works at times. and when you don't know what to say, because the Holy Spirit is already working and moving and breathing, believe it or not. Sometimes the greatest treasures and oddities and unusual things are in a shopping center across the street from a historical site. Sometimes they're in a little bit older building across the street from the Capitol building. The helper, well, the helper is here to offer us peace and life and a reminder that God is with us through it all. The presence of God, well, it's in our breath, giving us life. It's in creation. It rests upon us, even when it's like tongues like fire. So believe it or not, but Jesus asks you to believe it so that your hearts might not be troubled, that the advocate is called to be alongside us, and the church is invited to do the works that Jesus did, to show others the love of Jesus Christ, and to remind them that eternal life starts now. So believe it. Rest in the Spirit's comfort so that our hearts, well, so they might be a little less troubled if we do. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.